Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
What your massage therapist knows about you, and what a hotshot Hollywood mogul told Emma Stone when she was 15 years old, and the scandal of Girl Scout cookies. This is a live radio show, and it has to be live to hit those hot topics. Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story how politics and procedure ended the promising career of one commanding officer. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Mississippi mom in the Who Scout for baby activity at Walmart. People at Walmart later. Sterling at night. Crazy girls, Hollywood. Yes, there was a shooting. Strippers on the loose later. Sterling at night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
You still on pit tonight? You were right. About what? You look stunning. I need to keep up with you. You're gorgeous.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Every 07-17-27, lesbians in space. Because the research is very clear. At this time, it says that what you want is information about UFOs, space, and lesbianism. That's what the research shows. So I said, well, why can't we combine them? Oh, in sports. Lesbian in space in sports bras. There we have the triumvirate of ratings, the giant ratings. The meters are bouncing right now. Lesbians, sports, and space. Why no one else has figured out this magic formula, I don't care. Good evening, I'm Walter M. Sterling. And of course, it has descended upon us live. Now, this is on because I really like this song. You like this song? This is my show. I get to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, Patty Drew from the T.J. Lubinsky Collection. Yes, another obscure oldie that you only hear here. Because you can tune to most FM radio stations in America and hear Light My Fire by the Doors. That's true. Or Smoke on the Water. You hear Smoke on the Water and Light My Fire by the Doors, and they call it classic rock. Classic rock. Meanwhile, songs recorded by the association at the same time are deemed too old to play on the radio. 1965, The Association, too old. 1965, Light My Fire by the Doors, super cool. Can't explain it. It's never made any sense to me. Except, I know what it is. The CEOs, the executives in charge of these radio stations, hold on a second, of these radio stations, they like Light My Fire by the Doors, and therefore it's okay. It's not too old if they like it. I'm not kidding you. This is how decisions are made in my industry. Yeah, well, you know, I really like light my fire by the doors and smoke on the water. Yeah, when I was in high school, well, we may have had a little conjure with that. And, you know, I was on the side of the gym where they did drugs. Now, the kids on the side of the gym that did beer, they liked the association. Well, we can't have that. Those songs are too old. What? What? It's a bizarre world. Not as bizarre as how many of these stations insist on bashing the Democrats and doing that for 24 hours a day. Like, and then they get a one share and listeners who are close to death. Gee, how can we get younger listeners? I got an idea. Why don't you talk about this? How do you get the baby to go to sleep? It's 13 minutes past the hour. It's time for the baby to go to sleep. I never hear that on the radio. I never hear anybody say the most important, hear the most important things. How do we get the baby to go to sleep? Oh my gosh, there's water on the floor of the basement. It's 2 degrees out. The check engine light won't go off. 4 in the morning, the furnace won't go on. Parent-teacher conference. They want a special extended parent-teacher conference with my kid. Mother-in-law threatening to visit. These are the things that matter. I never hear these things on the radio. I'll make you a deal. Coming up in just seconds, I will share with you the best technique I ever found for getting the baby to go to sleep right now. That's coming up in just seconds. It's a live radio show. I'm Walter Sterling. I'm all choked up. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Alex Daddario.
Do you just look at my boobs?
I was not my intention. I didn't stare directly at them.
You're looking at them right now.
Now I did. Because you were talking about them.
Do not drink bleach. Do not do bath salts. And don't hit a woman in the head with a hatchet. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. These are all some very tough lessons we're going to learn on Florida Stories. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Stories. Hey there. Thank you. For our next Florida story, we have a repeat Florida criminal who, in this armed robbery case, is his third strike. So if he gets found guilty here, he's possibly going away for life. He has a plan, though. I don't know how he got it, where he got it, where he thought of this plan, what he thought would happen. But as soon as the verdict is read and he is known to be guilty, he drinks a cup of bleach. Why? So he can go to the hospital instead of jail. And it kind of worked. And I mean, except for he got really sick and barfed all over the place.
Just found guilty of armed robbery, facing life behind bars, and he drinks something from this cup.
Spit it up, man.
He's been in custody for more than 3 years fighting the charges, and on verdict day sips what his family says was a bleach-type chemical from the cup. Immediately, he becomes sick. So sick, he's taken out of the courtroom on a stretcher and taken to the hospital.
Well, he did get what he wanted. He got to go to the hospital, which is preferable than going straight to prison. But here's the deal. I mean, you're going to burn your esophagus if you drink straight up bleach. You know, either dilute it or just drink like Capri Sun or like some Sprite Zero and say it was bleach. And then they take you to the hospital. Look, it only delays it. But I guess, you know, every hour outside of jail counts when the rest of your life is on the table. And look, even worse, he got the regular flavor. He didn't get the cherry flavored bleach. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, I'm thinking about just having a whole category of Florida stories called Just Break Up. Just Break Up. Because here's another one where a guy is dating a girl and it doesn't work out and they get in an argument. So he goes into the bar and starts arguing with her because she's talking to other guys now and starts a fight. When he starts to lose, he pulls out a gun, squeezes off 6 rounds, doesn't hit anybody. Look, I'm no Dr. Phil. I'm not a relationship expert. But I'm fairly certain in the history of human courtship going back through 10,000 years of recorded civilization, there hasn't been one lady who got back with her ex-boyfriend because he was squeezing off some rounds in a bar. It just doesn't happen. The headlock didn't help. The fighting didn't help. And on top of all that, he's a terrible shot. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz, and this is the usual edition from Public Radio. I've just completed a 6-month summer sabbatical studying the spotted owls of Mallorca. Today, we explore enviable mother of three who, for the past 15 years, lives in China and sent her children to Chinese public schools while she stayed home designing dresses. No word yet from her husband.
Some parents would say, you know, get in there, be more active. And parents would say, well, I do that in my household. But when I send my children into the communities and I send them to school, I can't control everything. I can't police everything. The communities are no longer strong. They're not supporting kids and bringing them up the right way. You know, their role in it, if you will.
The return of Rachel episode is made possible by the Green River Tourism Society. If you're going to make a podcast, remember, all mysteries are solved at Green River, Georgia. And by overextended families who wear all tweed.
Now, I would like to share with you some of my adventures from the Owl Kingdom. First, here's the sound of the Canadian owl. And now the owl from the eyeglass commercial.
You paid too much for those glasses.
Who?
You. Designer frames? Well, so are these. And these. And these.
So subtle. Owls are hysterical. And now, let's enjoy this week in review as we explore the news stories of the past 3 days.
Back, the only kind of technology available is a small black and white TV set in their cell. And inmates only receive this TV if they demonstrate a good behavior over a long period of time. El Chapo gets to watch TV if he wants, but the prison selects the programs.
There is more news from spokeswoman Pam Anderson.
And my grandfather taught me, you know, you're not an extension of the small town. You're not an extension of your parents. You're a brand new light given to this planet to do whatever you want with.
And, of course, Lori Loughlin.
They've welcomed me with such open arms at a time when I was feeling particularly down and broken. That's how I found a home here. And that's what I feel like they did for me. And that's why I'm so proud to be here and working with this organization, because they really do care.
We, as always, on the usual edition, welcome music from a food processor. Remember, gold is like my name, Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. Now, the music from a food processor.
It's 24 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday, live coast to coast. Isn't that amazing? On KFBK in Sacramento, the number one radio station in Sacramento, as far as I'm concerned, and WPHT in Philadelphia. Now, how to get the baby to go to sleep? That seems to me to be far more important than anything that maybe could have happened today in Congress, but we could scream about that for the next 20 hours. But while I'm on, let's deal with the screaming baby. I was at a big auditorium this week. I was watching a competition that one of my kids was in. And in the back of the auditorium, there was a dad walking his six-month-old back and forth, back and forth. And the kid was yelling. The kid didn't want to go to sleep. The kid didn't want to calm down. And all he kept doing was he kept bouncing the kid up and down. Kid was on his shoulder. This was a good dad. This was he wasn't doing anything wrong, but he was bouncing the kid up and down on his shoulder, walking back and forth. But he was in an auditorium that was warm and noisy. Kid being bounced up and down, dad walking back and forth, all sorts of screaming, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds running around. There was an oompa band over there making noise during this competition. It was quite the thing. And I finally, when he wasn't getting anywhere, I went up to him and I said, come with me. And I knew where there was a quiet meeting room, where there was a conference room that nobody was using, the lights weren't on. And it was also much cooler. And I said, come in here. And I said, I've had three kids. I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm going to make a suggestion. Stay in this room. Shut this door. Cut out the noise. This is a cooler room. We all need cool rooms to fall asleep. No one can fall asleep well in a hot room. All winter, I'm running the air conditioner. Yeah, all winter, I run the air conditioner, both for the noise and to keep it cool. I said, take the kid in here. Don't bounce it. Just walk it back and forth and go, shh, shh, shh. Do that. Don't let anyone come in. Stay in here by yourself till the baby goes to sleep. Baby will go to sleep fast. And that's what I have always found. You may have other techniques, but the technique I have found that always works is the darkest I can make the room, the coolest I can make the room. I don't bounce the kid up and down. If you were bounced up and down, could you fall asleep? No. You want to be held tight. They need to be held tightly. That way they know they're safe. They need to be swaddled. And shh, and cool room, and peace, and the baby goes to sleep. Bouncing around, singing. Don't be silly. Your singing's terrible. No one wants you singing. The baby doesn't. That's how you get to sleep. That's how I have found the most success in getting babies to sleep. Baby wants a pacifier? No problem. You want a pacifier, kid? Yes, here it is. Oh, you shouldn't have a pacifier. Shut up. Kid's getting a pacifier. Whatever that kid needs to go to sleep. And then the best advice I ever got from a maternity nurse with our first Dorothy, with our first kid, the maternity nurse said, never wake a sleeping baby. That's rule number one of bringing a baby home and raising the baby. Never wake a sleeping baby. There are only three reasons that kid's crying: hungry, wet diaper, exhausted. It's 6 months old. It isn't any more complicated than that. And if you're honest with yourself, my friend, it isn't any more complicated than that for you, especially at your age. Wet diaper, hungry, teething, tooth problems. Same problems once you're over a certain age. An age we're not allowed to mention because we want younger demos. Let's get our younger demos. Now, I know a guy who had the life. He has the life. And I'm very hesitant to put this guy on the radio because he has a much better voice than I do. And that's never good for me. You know, it's a marginal career that I have here, marginal career. And then later on, but this guy actually had the audacity to live in Monaco. For years, he lived in Monaco, in the Riviera. And you and I will talk to him coming up in just seconds. Plus, 41 degrees below zero. That's what it's like in North Pole, Alaska. And son of a gun, we have a correspondent in North Pole, Alaska, who will share with us deep tips on how to deal with a deep frost. You think it's cold where you are, my friend? No, no. It's minus 41 in Fairbanks, Alaska. Look it up on your phone. Minus 41 in Fairbanks, Alaska. Plus, on the sevens, lesbians in space, 07, 17, 27, whenever we can work it in, because the research shows that's what you want. That's what the research shows. Plus, Vic Ferrari with a great cop story. All of this and you. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by pilot error.
Keep us out over the lake, south of the city for now at 3,000 feet. But I'm not sure we're going to maintain 3,000 very easy.
My gosh, look at this incredible weather. It's 40 below in Fairbanks, Alaska. And here's your weather with Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story how politics and procedure ended the promising career of one commanding officer. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Mississippi mom in the hooscow for baby activity at Walmart. People at Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Crazy Girls, Hollywood. Yes, there was a shooting. Strippers on the Loose, later, Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bra?
Your partner? You're, gay.
I think that that is just fine. I don't want you to think that it's a problem for me, because it's really not. I mean, why would it be? But...
Something really ridiculous.
You're fine.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
You have a bucket list. Your bucket list probably includes wanting to move to Florida, living in Southern California, living where it's 80 degrees all the time, or maybe moving to Bora Bora, or my bucket list. I can't even go into that now. There are all sorts of legal issues. But I have a friend named Jack Kelly, and Jack Kelly has lived the life. He is a big deal radio executive. He programmed incredibly successful radio stations in the 48, but then he convinced his bride to move to Hawaii, and they bought radio stations in Hawaii. Okay, that would be enough for most men, but not for Jack. Jack decided that what he needed to do was move to the French Riviera. And that's where you and I are going in October. Yes, you and I are going to the French Riviera. But I said, you know, is that fair to say let's go to the French Riviera unless we talk to somebody who knows the French Riviera? Jack Kelly, how long did you live in the French Riviera?
Uncle Walt, we were there about 16 years.
Now, you see what I told you guys before? It's very rough for me to have Jack Kelly on the show because his voice is much better than mine, and it hasn't changed. It's always been better than mine, except now it's even much better than mine, and yet I have compromised my professionalism to allow him on here to make me sound like a small person. Now, Jack...
By the way, you are too kind because I know you're sitting there with that beautiful RCA 77DX Hallmark microphone, most famous mic in the broadcast business, and you own one.
You know, it's even better than that, Jack. Yeah, I own it, but it was a gift. It was actually a gift from Alan Shaw.
Oh, really?
And,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the man who monetized album-oriented rock and made it possible and never gets enough credit for it, but a wonderful guy. Now, where did you live in the south of France? Where did you live?
Okay. Well, as when we were going to move from Honolulu to the south of France, to Monaco, we thought, well, you know, I probably have maybe a sympathetic chord with the principality, because in many ways it's like my old hometown, Palm Beach, Florida. But as we got there, I was wrong. Yes, there are similarities. There's a lot of wealth. It's like Robin Leach's old horrible show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. But of course, you know, that's television. And the reality is, Monaco's beautiful. Lots of well-arranged Belle Epoque concrete, and there's no crime at all. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just lovely. The cops there wear white gloves in case they happen to have to touch a criminal to carry him to the edge of the principality and remove him from town. But we, after about, I guess it was 2 or 3 months, we decided that it would be really more livable, not to mention more economical, to just scoot over about 12 kilometers to the east and live in Italy. And that's where we ended up residing most of the time.
Now, Jack Kelly, who lived along the French Riviera, near the French Riviera, for 16 years,
yes.
A listener, a Midnight Misfit, who's debating whether or not to go on this trip to the French Riviera for 9 days and what is it, 19 meals and one hotel, because I refused to change hotels. 9 days, south of France, French Riviera, bucket trip list. Jack, give me three reasons why I should go to the south of France, to the French Riviera, for 9 days and nine nights. Why should I do that?
Well, it, you know, there's a layers. There's a first and foremost, it's history. It's amazing history. It's a kind of history that we're not really used to here in the States, unless you happen to have a master's in world history. Beyond that, it's art. Beyond that, it's cuisine. Beyond that, it's physically beautiful. But if I can just talk for a second about the history part, how much time have you got? You got 2 minutes, 3 minutes?
No, Jack, for you, I got five.
Okay. We were, okay, Nice is, its original name was Nicaea. It was named by the Greeks who were there before the Romans. And they named Nice, Nicaea, in about 400 B.C. The Romans came along about 400 years later. And an interesting story about that is that when Linda and I were living in Vallecrozia, Italy, an Italian friend of mine asked me one day, he said, "You guys are renting this lovely house. Who owns that house?" And I said, "It's owned by the Aprozio family." And he said, "Oh, the Aprozio family." He said, "That's a very old and respected family." And I thought, "Well, you know, what do you mean, like 200 years old, 300? He said, "Oh, no, much older than that. 400 or 500 years." He said, no, much older than that. I said, "Mac, how old are we talking here?" He said, "Well, when the Romans came in to subjugate the local Aprozio tribe, that's how old that is."
Yeah.
So, you know, we just have such a different view of history. The Caesar Augustus, in around 100 BC, gave to his general who conquered the area the opportunity and the responsibility to build this trophy up in La Turbie. And I know you've been in the area, so did you ever go up to La Turbie?
No. Listen, Jack.
Okay, well,
Jack.
What?
I want my friends to go on vacation. I don't want them to go to social studies classes. So the bottom line is this. How's the food? How's the wine? And oh my gosh, the topless beaches.
Okay, for the topless beaches, the first thing you learn is that nobody anymore is Brigitte Bardot. And secondly, you realize that maybe having illegal topless beach is a good idea after you see some of the people who are topless. But it's pretty common. Nice has on the Promenade des Anglais, sits right above their long, long, long coast beach. Several sections are more or less topless. But the food, yes. As a matter of fact, I noticed, I think, it's in the little town of Menton. This is the last French town on before you get to the Italian border. Isn't that all your list of itineraries?
I think so. Now, Jack, you lived there for 16 years. Did you love it?
Yes, indeed. But anyway, I have to tell you that in Menton, right by the Italian border, is a little restaurant called Mirazur, which recently was named best restaurant in the world by Condé Nast.
Wait, that's, now you're getting somewhere. Say the name of that restaurant again.
Mirazur, Mirazur, like Côte d'Azur.
And now, did you eat there?
Yes, we were there the week it opened, which was about 15 years ago.
And was it spectacular? What did you eat? Do you remember?
I had the salt. No, actually, that's kind of an inside joke, because when the first week that it opened, it was actually going through a couple of rough spots, and they had people.
But that was a long time ago. That was a long time ago. Yeah. What did you eat that was great? Why should I go there now?
Because it's excellent. Because, I think you've been to either the Chateau d'Aix in Aix,
yes,
or the Chef d'Or.
Both.
Similar quality, but very, very, I mean, just, you can't go wrong. It ain't cheap, but it's a memorable.
Oh, we don't care about that. We don't care about it. This is a bucket list trip. Jack Kelly, thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I'm so jealous of 16 years on the French Riviera. You and I are going to get 9 days on the French Riviera, and we're going to go to that restaurant Jack told us to go to. All right, good evening. 48 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Steve Harvey.
Okay, you want truth? This is why me and lie. Because we are afraid of your reaction to the truth.
All right, 41 degrees below zero in Fairbanks, Alaska. That's where our friend Keith Fons is trapped. Now, Keith, you used to live in the lower 48. Keith, you used to live in the lower 48. That's what I couldn't hear on my headphones. I couldn't hear that the music was playing. You like this music? Listen to this. Isn't that great? I can't hear it. And that's because scientists say it. I wish they had. All right, now, Keith, you used to live in the lower 48, right?
I did, all through the lower 48.
Were you on the run? Were sheriffs after you, Keith?
No, I grew up, I was born in Denver, Colorado, grew up in Florida. Then when I was 18, I decided, hey, why not hitchhike from coast to coast? So I ended up hitchhiking from Florida to California. You know, it took 8 days, and then I spent many years on the West Coast.
Keith Fons lives in North Pole, Alaska, which is next to Fairbanks, and we have a very important affiliate in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm grateful for them. Now, Keith, it's 41 below, and the reason I keep emphasizing that and will repeatedly is because many, many, many listeners, many misfits this week have suffered with lousy, rotten weather, but nothing that's minus 41. One of the things that I learned from Ice Road Truckers, the most staged show in the history of television, is that because of weather like 41 below, they often have to keep their trucks running all the time, or the oil and the gas lines will freeze up immediately. Now, I'm looking to you for a tip on how to deal with cold weather, because when it's 41 below, it's not just advice, it's life or death. It's life or death. What life or death suggestions do you have about wicked weather?
The number one is layers. Make sure that any part of your skin that is exposed to this weather is covered up. You know, you want to wear layers. Like, for instance, I'm wearing 3 pairs of pants right now just to, you know, stay warm, and I still feel the cold on my legs. And being hydrated, you have to drink a lot of water when it gets this cold, just like in heat waves, you know, because your body is just, it's overworking itself, because you could spend matter of minutes outside not with the right proper gear and end up frostbite or worse.
I love hearing it from Keith Fons, who lives in minus 41, rather than a weather person in a warm studio saying, and remember, be sure to bundle up out there. I'm like, really? I'm over 21. I don't need to be told to bundle up. And then every weather person says the same stupid thing. Keith, now that I'm going to tell you this, it'll make you crazy when you're watching TV. They all say, and it's going to be 41 out there. Like, yeah, out there. Where else would it be besides out there? And be careful when you're driving out there. And it's snowing this morning out there. Where else is it going to be? And every now and then I'll see a weather person, and then I don't watch them for a year, and I see them again. I hope that somebody in management has sent them a memo about the out there. I turn on the TV and out there. I'm like, oh, no, no. Yes, Keith, go ahead.
Well, about the negative 40s, you know, you're a true Alaskan if you do the negative 40 and below club. And what they do is they go to the university and there's a big sign that says how cold it is. And it has to be colder than negative 40. And you have to go up to the sign in a bathing suit and take a picture. Once you do that, you're a true Alaskan.
Have you had your picture taken there?
I have not done that yet.
Where can we see these pictures? Where do we see these pictures?
Well, they're all over right now. If you go on Facebook and you go to the page called Fairbanks, Alaska, that is where everybody is posting their pictures and to get their bragging rights.
And now I see there's a headline in the News Miner. And the News Miner headline is this. This is Keith Fonz's life in Alaska. Strangers become friends at Joy Community Library's game nights. I'm like, what? Strangers become friends at Joy Community Library's game night. That's the headline, that you're going to be friends if you go to the game night at the community library in Joy, Alaska. Keith Fonz, you're a good friend. Great report. Thank you very much for the tip on how to not die. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Coming up, you and I are going to talk about Girl Scout cookies being sold at work and the companies that have wacky rules about Girl Scout cookies being sold at work and other things being sold at work. Plus, what does your masseuse think about you? What does your masseuse think about you? What do they spot about you immediately when they see you? And Emma Stone's trouble with creepy old guys when she was 15 in Hollywood. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to learn what our masseuse knows about us, plus the horror of trying to sell Girl Scout cookies at work, how we're banished, harassed. In just seconds now, weather from meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up,
Mississippi mom in the Hooskow for baby activity at Walmart. People of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story how politics and procedure ended the promising career of one commanding officer. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Crazy girls, Hollywood, yes. There was a shooting. Strippers on the loose, later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I've never thought about being with a woman before.
Well, why should you? You like men.
I like you too.
But not like that.
I don't know. Maybe.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardized that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'm going to talk a little bit about how politics played a role in the end of an NYPD supervisor's career. So the NYPD's auto crime division, it's like a pie chart. You have a commanding officer, you have an executive officer who's the second banana, then you have lieutenants that do the administrative work, and then that gets farmed out to the sergeants and then the detectives. And I was in the auto crime division 10 years. My first 6 or 7 years, we had two great commanding officers. One was like an older guy behind the scenes, but no one messed around and he kept everything in check. The second supervisor we had at the auto crime division, he understood the balance of power. He knew how to keep one police plaza happy with the statistics, and he also knew how to keep the rank and file members, the grunts, happy. He knew when to, you know, he was the type of guy that would give you a pat on the back, or if you needed help, he would work with you. So anyway, my first two commanding officers knew how to play the game with the politics of one police plaza and the rank and file members of the department. Then things started getting a little hairy. We got a commanding officer who came from the patrol bureau. Now, it's like moving to Australia. Sure, they speak English down under, but there's kangaroos. And when you flush the toilet, it goes counterclockwise. So it's a big difference. And this commanding officer that came over from patrol, instead of putting his pinky toe in the water, he cannonballed in and started implementing all these policies that were counterproductive on how to run investigations. Coming from patrol, he was fixated on nuisance abatements. Nuisance abatements means if the police affect several felony arrests in a location over a certain period of time, the city can force the landlord to evict the tenants. So if someone's renting a garage and they run it as a chop shop and we make a couple of arrests in there, the NYPD and the city can pressure the landlord to throw these people out. And if they don't, they can force them to sell the business or even forfeitures. That's what they did down at 42nd Street with all the sex shops in the early 90s. Anyway, our commanding officer was fixated on this. And one day he came into our office and he kept insisting, why isn't this place shut down? He keeps saying the same address and no one wanted to say anything. Finally, he says, why doesn't anybody want to have these people evicted? And one of the guys in our office raised his hand. He goes, boss, you're standing in the address. We use this arrest location when someone surrenders. So obviously he didn't get it. And he basically was bounced out of the auto crime division. It's unfortunate he wasn't a bad guy, but he didn't take the time to learn how the Organized Crime Control Bureau worked. So for more interesting auto theft stories, be sure to check out my new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division.
We love Vic Ferrari. Just the best. All right, good evening. It's 12 past the hour. You and I are driving across Route 80. At this time, Interstate 80, it's 8 degrees outside, but we're warm. We're inside the cab. We're in the four-wheeler. And you hear the background. Listen carefully in the background. That's my dryer. This show comes from America's Laundry Room. I do the show from the laundry room for authenticity. During the pandemic, there were many morning zoos that did their shows from home, and the whole show was about, oh, we're doing our show from home. Oh, isn't that crazy? It's wild. Everything's out of control. No, for 10 years, I have done my show from my laundry room. Three different homes, by the way. This one has the worst acoustics, but the best microphone. The RCA 77. It is Girl Scout cookie time. And that means Girl Scout cookie time. That means that we get to evaluate the new Girl Scout cookies. If you live in New Jersey, Delaware, or Pennsylvania, you can buy them now. In the rest of the country, they have to wait till the second week in February. But now, if you live in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, or Delaware, you can get the Girl Scout cookies right now. And there are always two things that I notice. There's always a new flavor. Right now, it's peanut butter chocolate caramel is the new flavor this year. Okay, that sounds nice. But then I always notice two other things. Every year, to me, they seem smaller. And every year, to me, they seem to be missing some ingredient that was there last year that made it taste better. They seem a little smaller and a little cheaper. Most people say, yeah, my favorite is the thin mints. No, I never liked mint. I never liked mint anything. I like the peanut butter things. So they're the tagalongs, which I don't know why they call them tagalongs. Why don't they call them peanut butter cream cookies, chocolate covered peanut butter cookies, whatever. And now they have peanut butter chocolate caramel cookies. But here's where the controversy comes in. It's this being a talk radio show. We must court controversy in order to get ratings. Here's the deal. Many companies have crazy rules about what you can sell at work. Many companies have rules. You can't do charity drives at work. You can't raise money for charities at work. You can't do nonprofit work at work. And then supermarkets and other gathering places and malls. Well, no, there can't be any Girl Scout cookies set up here. This is sacred ground. I mean, sacred ground. You're a supermarket that overcharges for milk. You have no sanctity. There's nothing sacred about what you do. I say And I know the deal. I understand being at work. I've worked at big companies with big offices and HR departments. HR departments, the most ridiculous waste of time, money, and energy ever conceived. Human resources. Why don't you just call it people? Oh, I know. Why don't you call it personnel? Human resources. Oh, God, it was the worst thing ever. Human capital. They have all kinds of rules about what you can sell at work or not. And I understand that if I'm working and mom comes up to me or mom brings the kid to work and says, oh, Mr. Sterling, will you buy some of these? Yes, I will buy some of these. Because as annoying as it might be, and on those days where $5 is a lot of money, the kid's 10. And it's for a positive thing. And it's nothing for any HR department to complain about. It's nothing for your department head to complain about. Anybody who wants to do a fundraiser for their church, their Boy Scout troop, Cub Scout troop, Girl Scout troop, whatever it is, they should be able to do it at work. Well, it takes up work time. No. My friend, you know, with very rare exceptions, there is nothing at work that really takes 8 hours. There's nothing at work that really takes 40 hours a week. You have 10 lousy minutes to be nice to the kid or nice to the kid's mom. Too often, nobody ever considers, is it hard for the mom to ask for this? Yeah, maybe it's hard for the mom to ask for this help, huh? It's a hard thing to do to ask for help, even if it's something as simple and great as Girl Scout cookies. It's still hard. 888-688-WALT is my phone number. 888-688-WALT. I say that if you want to raise money for Girl Scouts, if you want to sell Girl Scout cookies at work, at 9 in the morning, at 5 in the afternoon, at noon, whenever it is, you should be able to do it. And there's no territory. There might be 10 moms trying to sell Girl Scout cookies at work. Fine. Let them fight it out. Let them arm wrestle. There's an idea. Let them have a competition. Now, if you go deep into the weeds, HR might say, you know, we've noticed that you're only buying the vanilla white cookies. We don't think that endorses our reverence. And recommendations for diversity. If you're going to buy Girl Scout cookies, you must buy all colors of Girl Scout cookies. And that's where the insanity arrives. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Good evening. Now, 17 past the hour, lesbians in space.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
I'm sorry, but does this actually work? This, all this flirting.
Yes. Yes, of course it works.
With men, I guess.
With men, with women, with everyone.
So you've been with women?
Of course.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life. With benefits.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Don't play cutesy with me.
No, not me. Did you hear what I was
Tuesday,
playing?
Tuesday, Wednesday,
no, I'm not playing the song.
A Thursday.
What do you hear now?
Isn't that the fault of the voters?
Let's see. Do you hear this?
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun
that's
by baboons?
That's what's important.
Isn't that the fault of the voters?
I think
voters?
We should hear it once more so that it's very clear what's the message.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
We got, I have a lot of questions about our trip to the French Riviera in October, and I want you to come with me. This is a once-in-a-lifetime bucket trip made for Midnight Misfits. That's right, it's made for Midnight Misfits. This is a custom trip. It's not some package tour or anything like that. Colette Travel has heard Sterling on Sunday, and they were impressed because I kept talking about the fact that I love the French Riviera. It's a great place to go. Can't wait to go. And they said, well, we'll put together a trip for you with your listener. You, a listener, your wife, go to the French Riviera, a bucket list trip. 9 days, great meals. We stay in one hotel. But I've gotten a lot of really good questions. First, get the brochure. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And that's where you can click on the homepage. There's a picture of the French Riviera. Click on that. Get the information. Or send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, and I will personally address the envelope and send you a beautiful brochure about our trip. Not about 20 other trips, just our small group vacation. Bucket list trip to Nice, Monaco, French wineries, French perfumeries. I don't know why I try to say that. I can't say perfumery. And in October, the weather should be spectacular. We'll have the best food in the world. Nice, Saint-Tropez, Monaco, Ez, Cannes. Right, all of those places that live in our heads. I have been there. I was there twice. I asked my wife to marry me there. It is better in person than in my imagination. That's what I found. It's better in person than in my imagination. It was really incredible. Now, because of all of the questions, really good questions, in addition to going to waltersterlingshow.com, clicking on it, getting the information, we're going to have a Zoom call. That's right. You can participate in a Zoom call. And that Zoom call will be conducted by one of the big shots at Colette Travel, who will answer all the questions, tell you everything you want to know. Great guy, Mike Mitchell. Terrific guy, Mike Mitchell. And he will explain everything about the trip and answer all of your questions live on a Zoom call. When will that be? That will be Mitchell Mack. What's wrong with me? You know what's wrong with me? We had equipment flame out. And whenever there's equipment flame out, I'm just not professional enough to recover fast enough. But I do my darndest. Where is that? On February 8th at 6 p.m., there will be a Zoom call with Mitchell Mack of Colette Travel to answer every question there is about the trip to the French Riviera in October. 9 days, one hotel, great trip. And it's just for you and me. I will be there with my wife. We're going to have a vacation together, the vacation we have dreamed of. But get the information. It's a small vacation. It's a small group vacation. That way we get to know each other. We get to enjoy each other. Or if you want to hang out in your hotel room or just sit on the beach, I don't care. We're misfits. We're not designed to get along with other people, but we can probably get along with each other. That would be my hunch. This is a quality premium trip. You will like every aspect of it. It's been laid out carefully and thoughtfully, and it won't hurt my feet. And that's really the key thing, that it doesn't hurt my feet. We're going to have a Zoom call on February 8th at 6 p.m. To get the link, I'm going to post the link on Facebook, Walter Sterling, on X, Walter M. Sterling, and I'll send you the email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Send me an email, and I'll send you the link. Or go to my website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com, and the link should be up soon. It should be up soon. But that's what you want to do. You want to go to... Let me get the brochure. Let's not miss anything. Here we go. We're going to go to a perfume workshop. We'll go to an island, especially an island off of Cannes, and participate in a wine tasting. We'll go to the beach. In this brochure is a photograph of my wife and I seconds after I put the ring on her finger on the beach in Monaco. You want to see this picture so you can see how beautiful my wife is and how much trouble she must have had with her eyes. We're going to go to an artist's haven. a flower market and local foodie stop. We're going to go to Monaco and see the Princess Grace Museum and the casino at Monte Carlo. This is the bucket list trip. This is the trip that you've thought of all your life. Why don't we go to the French Riviera? Why are we going to the Jersey Shore again? Why are we going to Wildwood again? You don't have to go to Wildwood. You can go to the French Riviera, believe me, for about the same price. Find out about that. Go to WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com. Click on the picture of the French Riviera, and you'll get the information. Sign up for the information. No obligation, no commitment, but find out about this trip, because this is the trip that's on your bucket list. This is the one we've all thought about. Monaco, Nice, Cannes, Saint-Tropez, the French Riviera. I never had a better time. It was the best vacations I've ever had. All right, coming up, you and I are going to find out about the decadence of Las Vegas and what your masseuse actually thinks about you and cares about you in seconds, and lets you and I talk about the Girl Scout cookies sold at work. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by lesbians.
And how long have you been into women? I didn't say I was. Yeah, and half day.
It's 41 below in Fairbanks, Alaska. Therefore, it's balmy where you and I are. Dr. Dave Iser with the weather. 888-688-WALT. I believe that if you want to sell Girl Scout cookies at work, anywhere, anytime, or any other charitable event that you want to raise money for, you should be able to. This should not be an HR issue. It shouldn't be, oh my God, it's eating up so much time. You're a grown-up. If you don't want to give money, if you don't have the money, you can just say, hey, I can't do it right now. That's it. Instead, it's become this whole big thing about rules and regulations about what you can't sell at work and can sell at work. It's crazy. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. But once again, I am right. Kendall Toby. Now, Kendall, you had the life. I need to frame this for our Midnight Misfits. You had the life. You lived in Sacramento. You worked for not only a dominant radio station as a brilliant producer, but you worked for a great guy named Bill White. And you lived in Sacramento for a long time. How long were you there?
Well, I was born in Sacramento.
Well, so you were a native Californian. Californian. Now, let me share with you my miserable history. My grandfather was born in Malibu. My father's father was born in Malibu. I was born in, wait for it, Newark, New Jersey. When I hit the age of reason, I looked at my grandfather and I said, how did this happen? I could have been third generation native Californian. My name could have been Chad. I could be surfing. I could be blonde. Instead, my name's Walt, and I was born in Newark. And all I have that's cultural is I know where to get the best pizza. That's it. That's all I've got. You were born in freaking California, Kendall. You lived there all your life, and then a few months ago, and you were working for a great guy and a mostly good company. Now you decide, I'm going to move to Las Vegas. What were you thinking, Kendall? Kendall, what were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking that, you know, I had a great opportunity to start off in a new state when things in California really seemed to be crumbling. And even around the radio station, Walter, it was getting really, really rough toward the end. There was a lot of RVs and people camping around, and the homelessness was just getting really, really bad. And I thought, you know what, if I don't start off in a new state now and try to start off a new life in a different state, I'm going to be here forever. So I took a gamble on Las Vegas.
I'm proud of you for taking the gamble and making the decision. It's not easy to leave home. The good news for you is that Vegas and Sacramento are not that far apart. There were people in wagon trains that were able to make that trip, so you're okay. Now that you're in Vegas, Kendall Toby, now that you're in Vegas, has there been anything that's shocking? Do you have a shocking story for us about Vegas?
A shocking story. Well, I mean, I haven't been here that long yet to be too shocked. I have had a couple of embarrassing moments where I did have a bit of a wardrobe malfunction the other day at Caesar's Palace. And I had a couple friends in town that were visiting me for the new year and had some family in town. And we were at Caesar's Palace. We were at the craps table. And, well, let's just say, Walter, I had a bit of a Janet Jackson moment at the Super Bowl. I was leaning over to throw my dice, and I was wearing a very tight corset. And, well, some of your listeners might know what I look like, but I am I'm very blessed. I kind of look a little bit like Jane Mansfield. And, well, what ended up happening is I threw the dice, Walter, and my corset, it just opened right up, right there and off the table. And I was so embarrassed. I was really shocked. I was so nervous. I quickly turned around and I fixed my corset. But let's just say that everybody got dinner and a show that night.
Kendall, you said that you were very blessed. If I may be a man, it sounds to me as though the guys around you are very blessed. They sound to be the ones who have the blessing. Now, did the croupier, did the person who was running the table give you some chips in gratitude? Did you get some chips in gratitude there, Kendall?
Yes, I definitely got some tips that night, but I definitely was very embarrassed and shocked. That hadn't happened before. And yeah, I'm new to the gambling world and to fashion and to corsets. And yes, I'm definitely going to be a little bit more gentle on my next throw of the dice.
Now, you were on Pat Walsh's show and other shows on KFBK. And right now, yes, you are on KFBK.
And yes.
Yes, you're live on KFBK. They, you know what they did, Kendall? They blinked. They, Bill White is so powerful and clever that it seems I keep getting more airtime and finding out about it later. I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing. But now the show starts at 7 and goes till 9, and that's good news for Sterling on Sunday. Do you miss your friends at KFBK since they're all listening very carefully right now?
Yes, I do. I miss everybody there. I miss all the listeners, and I miss everybody in the newsroom. And it's so fun to be able to reconnect right now. Thank you so much for having me. It's just been so fun joining your show with these reports here from Las Vegas on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, what's fascinating to me is the fan club base you seem to have on Facebook. Now, it's Kendall, and spell your last name so people can find you on Facebook.
It's Kendall Tobe, and that's T-O-B-E. A lot of people think it's Tobe, but it is Tobe.
And I noticed on Facebook when they found out you were on Sterling on Sunday, I was very impressed with how many people were impressed with you, like you, are fond of you. And one very misguided Facebook poster said they know about this show. They've heard me. It's very different. But they listen to this really boring old guy who screams at the Democrats anyway. But that was only one of about 30 posters. So I think we're way ahead, Kendall. Next week, I'm going to ask you to join us again next week. Will you do that?
Oh, I would love to. Thank you.
And you and I will conspire during the week to share what it is that you might want to reveal next week, okay? Thanks so much, Kendall.
I can't wait. Thanks, Walter.
Thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Oh, my gosh, look at that. It's time for lesbians. Yes, really. It's time for lesbians in space.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
You are a surprise. I don't want to be a surprise.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
Sterling on Sunday.
inspired by Ringo.
I love playing live. I mean, that's what it's all about for me. That's the gig. If you want to connect with an audience, you've got to love them. You got to love what you do, and you got to love them because that's why you're there, because they've come out to see you. Bars, pubs, clubs, weddings, anywhere. There's a magic moment when the band and the audience are just on. And that's a lot of peace and love. So when I tour now, you know, I love the audience. They love me. And we have certain gigs where it's just heart-filling.
Good night, my dear. And don't forget my name. My name is Baba Yaga.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. That's my phone number. And I'm live. And I'm live because we have the very pressing issue of Girl Scout cookies. It seems to me that every year the Girl Scout cookies get cheaper, made worse, and smaller. Like Hostess cupcakes. Every time I buy a Hostess cupcake, it seems to be smaller. And has fewer ingredients. We're pretty much down to, like, maybe it's flour, water, food coloring. I don't know. I am the only person on earth, by the way, who likes the orange Hostess cupcakes. I like them. I have always been fascinated with them because of course I'd like them. No one talks about them. They're eccentric. Those are eccentric cupcakes. No one talks about them. They win no prizes. They're nobody favorites. But they keep making those orange cupcakes, and then now they're making lemon ones at Hostess. And that can fool me. I can think I'm getting the orange one, and I get in the car and I bite on it, because I only buy them on the road, right? I only buy them when I'm on Route 80, Route 71, Route I-80, the Garden State Parkway, any of those horrible roads. Pennsylvania Turnpike, I-5, 101, oh, God. Anyway. Now the Girl Scout cookies, and I believe they're smaller, and each year they come out with maybe one new flavor. This year, the new flavor is chocolate peanut butter caramel, and I look forward to it. If you're in Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey, you can get Girl Scout cookies now. The rest of the country, not till the second week in February, but you can get them now. But then you try to sell them at work, or in front of the supermarket, or in front of a store in a strip mall, and you are slammed with all kinds of wacky rules. For all of these people, the HR people, the very serious grown-ups who want us to contribute to society and be good family people and be good parents, right until it comes into the workplace, right until it's in front of my store. You're not putting up a table in front of my store, because the owner of the store has their own kid. And they have to sell Girl Scout cookies. That's usually what the issue is. But that's what I have found, is that the minute you try to do something good for your kid, raise some money for your kid, you're in trouble. Like, immediately. Alyssa Milano. You remember Alyssa Milano's? Yeah, her Milano's. You remember that? Curse of the Devil Woman? That was the best movie ever made. I think it was called The Curse of the Beast, starring Alyssa Milano. In this movie, Alyssa Milano is nude most of the time. And she is made love to by the devil while tied up in bed topless. Oh, now you got to run out and get it, right? Okay. She never talks about it. For all of her feminism, for all of her right-on-ness, for all of her Me Too-ism, Melissa Milano was in a soft-core, R-rated, cheesy porno movie called, I think it was The Curse of the Devil or The Curse of the Devil Woman. Of course, during the network news, I will look up all of this so that we have background for you. But she's naked in it most of the time. And that's good. That's where the term Milanos came from. Her breasts were exposed most of the time, and everybody started calling them Milanos, which is also a cookie. However, Alyssa has two kids who are on Little League. They're on a Little League baseball team. And she lives someplace where there are other millionaires near her. Her husband is a very wealthy CAA talent agent. I don't know what he's doing for her. But they have these two boys, and they decided to put up a fan page a GoFundMe page to raise money for their Little League team. The outrage over this is insane. The outrage is, well, she has millions of dollars. She could just pay for the whole team. Why can't she contribute most of the money? Why does she have the nerve to say, other people, here's how to give money? She didn't say you need to do it. She didn't say it's important for you to. She just put up a GoFundMe page for her kids' Little League team. I learned something really important from Bud Paxson, Lowell Bud Paxson, founder of the Home Shopping Network, a very religious Christian and a very rich one. And he wanted to build an evangelical church near his home to support a preacher who he liked very much. And I liked very much, too. A really good guy. And he wanted to, at first, he wanted to just pay for the construction of the church all himself. He wanted to give all the money and start the church by giving all the money. And his preacher wouldn't let him. He explained, first of all, you will deny other people the opportunity to be of service and to help. But also, regardless of how you behave, people who come to the church will think you are dictating the policies of the church because you gave all of the money to the church. And it's the same thing. If Alyssa Milano supported her kids' Little League team 100%, paid for all the uniforms, all the bats, all the balls, all the transportation, all the travel, then they would think, oh, I don't like this policy of the team. That must be because of Alyssa Milano giving all the money. She must be the one who decided this. And she would deny other people the opportunity to help. If you want to sell something on behalf of a charity or your kids in the workplace or outside somebody's workplace, you should be able to. There shouldn't be any issue. Instead, HR, which does not belong in any company, it should be denied to any company. HR has all of these wacky rules that I find offensive and unnecessary. 888-688-9258 is my phone number. 888-688-9258. 888-688. Ready? WALT. And I'd love to talk to you because it's way too cold to go outside. You might as well stay inside. It's just us. Welcome home. It's just us. This is where misfits belong. This is the Colosseum for introverts. The Colosseum. Now, I hope there are no triggers on this show that cause you to dive into introversion even more, Billy Datz, even more. I hope not, because this is a safe place for introverts. This is where you're safe if you're an introvert. You can express yourself freely and wrap yourself in a blanket. But let's talk. I don't think there should be any rules about selling anything you want for a nonprofit in the workplace. Any time of day, any way you want to do it. People say, well, you know, I feel bad. I can't give money. I'm not responsible for how you feel. I'm not responsible for whether or not you want to spend the money on that. That's your business. And you, as a grown-up, get to say, no, I don't want to donate. I can't donate, or I don't want to donate right now, or my cousin sells them too. Whatever lie you want to give is fine. But there should be no restrictions on selling material, services, cookies for a nonprofit in any workplace, unless the workplace is completely hypocritical. When they go, we believe in family values, we believe in this goodness and all this, you're lying if you don't let people take action on it. 888-688-9258. That's my number. 888-688-9258. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's winter, and to confirm it, here's Dr. Dave Iser, your meteorologist.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
Make love to me, Peyton.
Once we go there, there's no going back.
I don't want to go back.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
You see, Dave Scott, what I don't understand about your show, which is a Canadian syndicated radio show about space and UFOs, is why don't you have lesbians in space on your show?
Well, if I did, I would love to interview them, Walter. It's difficult to find them alien lesbians, because they just don't come out of the closet very well from the sky.
What our research showed, Dave, is that at this hour, the listener only wants to hear three topics. They want to hear about space, sex, and sports. We combine them. Lesbians in space who wear sports bras. That combines everything that you and I want to hear at this time. And then I realized that a lot of very boring, old-fashioned news stations do traffic on the ones, weather on the tens. I'm like, we could do lesbians on the sevens. Therefore, we've been experimenting the past few weeks with lesbians at 07, 17, 27, 37, 47. I think that's a good format. What do you think, Dave? You're an experienced radio person based on your white hair. You're experienced.
Well, I can tell you this. Anything that can create ratings is good for us, which means advertising opportunities in all sorts of new genres when we advertise lesbians on the sevens.
Now, Dave, there was a piece of news that came out recently from, of all places, Siberia. And one of the things that's always fascinated me and you about the pyramids in Egypt is that those are 4-ton blocks. And I don't care how many pulleys, winches, ramps you have, those are 4-ton blocks. And you have guys in bare feet in 110-degree weather allegedly putting that up over a period of 20 years perfectly, pristinely, and I don't believe it. And there's an overwhelming amount of evidence that suggests the pyramids and the Sphinx are much, much older. And there's one piece of trivia about ancient Egypt. Cleopatra was the last ruler of Egypt as we think of it. But one of the things that Cleopatra was on a mission about, she was obsessed with, was she had many of her emissaries, many of the leaders of Cleopatra's time, their assignment was to find out who built the pyramids and how they built them. That was the last emperor, empress of ancient Egypt. That was her mission, just like ours. She's like, wait a minute, who built this? Now, being so close to the alleged time that those were built, there might have been enough hand-me-down knowledge that it could have come to her, but she didn't know. Cleopatra didn't know how the pyramids were built or who built them. But here's the Siberia story, and this is what I want your feedback on. It turns out that in Siberia, they found structures made out of 10-ton blocks, 8-ton blocks, piled high and perfectly at right angles, and the archaeologists say these are 100,000 years old. They're saying they're 100,000 years old. How do you feel about how these megalithic giant structures with 4-ton blocks, how do you feel they were built?
I have no idea how they were built. Do I think aliens were involved? No. And we only have to look to Florida, Walter, to the Coral Castle, where the gentleman who built the castle out of heartbreak for a woman, he was a tiny man, he was maybe 5'4", 110 pounds, and he was moving 10 to 12 ton structures behind a curtain without any noise, and apparently he was using levitation. He refused to allow anybody in. He moved the castle from its original location to another location in perfect step. And all I can tell you is he knew the physics, and he wouldn't give it up. Now, there is some secret and conspiracy that the U.S. government knows how he did it, but nobody really knows. So has this technology of levitation been around since the ancient times? That's what I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's levitation through audio waves. And that's been demonstrated a zillion times in labs, in high school labs, how you can move objects with sound waves. And the trick seems to be, how is it possible to amplify them to a point where they're moving 4-ton blocks. That seems to be the secret. But I have a theory about that. You ready for this? This is like my big conspiracy theory. When I was a kid in northern New Jersey, one of the popular school trips was to Thomas Edison's lab. Now, they don't do that anymore, but they used to go to Thomas Edison's lab in Edison, New Jersey, and we go in the lab, we take the tour of the lab, but even as an 8, 9, 10-year-old, I saw it twice. I was fascinated by the fact that the tour guide at the end of the tour would point to a glass jar, and in the glass jar was really ugly, gooey, gauzy stuff. And she said, that was Thomas Edison's last experiment. He was in the process of inventing artificial rubber. And then he died. And as a 10-year-old, I'm like, wait a minute. He was about to invent artificial rubber, and then he died? Would have been the end of the petroleum industry as we know it. And so would sound levitation. Sound levitation would end the turbine, diesel-powered, petroleum-powered engine business.
Well, you know what? We could also look at what is going on in other worlds, my friend, because one of the things that we have understanding with us is look at Nikola Tesla's experiments. Nikola Tesla's experiments have been taken away. We have no idea where they are. We believe they are in the hands of government people like the FBI or something a little bit more strange than that, like the CIA or the Wu desk that's hiding there. I think that any type of experiment that could make the planet go forward has been completely shut off and is hidden to the direction that no one knows where it's going to come from.
And this is why Donald Trump needs to be president, because he will ask, could I please see Nikola Tesla's experiments? Because wasn't like his uncle involved with all that? Wasn't his uncle in the FBI when they shut down Tesla, when they stole his files when he died?
I believe there is a story about that, yes, that Tesla's one of the curators of his apartment, if we call it politely, was Donald Trump's uncle.
Yeah. Two presidents have been asked now, Clinton and Trump have been asked, well, what about the UFOs? And Clinton was asked, and Trump was asked, what about the UFOs? And he said, they both said, no, there's just no evidence. I've seen nothing. I've been shown nothing. I mean, they were both asked then the same follow-up, would they tell you? And both of them said, yeah, I think they would. That's the story from the front line of the presidents. How do you feel about that, Dave Scott?
Well, I don't think any president has permission to associate themselves with being a disclosure president. And, you know, I don't know if you saw this story come out, but the former head of the UFO program, Aero, Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick, who resigned just before Christmas from his position, he has come out, and there was an article on CNN wondering if he's a disinformation agent to keep the UFO story away from the public, because he is in denial and has come out saying that all of us UFO believers are a bunch of conspiracy theorists and that the United States government has no information on UFOs or extraterrestrials.
Dave Scott, tell me your website and where we can hear your radio shows.
SpacedOutRadio.com.
Dave Scott is our good friend on Sterling on Sunday, and if I'm lucky, he'll be back next week at this very same time. You're in Canada. Do you know in Alaska, in Fairbanks, Alaska right now, it is minus 41 degrees?
And I'm on a Pineapple Express right now where I've lost a foot of snow in the last 3 days. I would rather take the cold. I'd rather take the snow, because they're worried about major forest fires in my area right now. I'm in the middle of British Columbia.
And believe it or not, about Siberia, that is their biggest problem in Siberia, is out of control forest fires. that never stop. It's crazy, crazy. Hey, Dave, you're a good friend. Thanks for being my friend, and thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by almost Tom Cotter.
I'd love to see you give birth to a child.
Yeah, I'd love to see you pee your initials in the snow. We're just different, honey. And by the way, I've been up here for, 5 minutes now? Have you heard me once talk like this? Oh, you, you, oh, you. They're in your bedside table drawer. That's where they are.
Walter Sterling. Good evening. You and I can stay in touch at all times. There are many social media ways for us to do that. Walter Sterling is the Facebook name, S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G. Walter Sterling. That's where I post all sorts of wacky information, including the Zoom link for our February 8th at 6 p.m. Eastern Zoom call to answer every question you've got about the French Riviera trip that you're going on. I put it together with Colette Travel just for you and me. My wife's going to come. She's going to be seen with me. She'll have her picture taken with you, but not with me. I don't know what that's about, but I think it has to do with the FBI. I hear all these idiots. Oh, and what else? And send me an email, and I'll send you the link, and I'll send you the... I will mail you, personally, I'll mail you this beautiful brochure that shows the map of where we're going on the French Riviera, gives you the detailed pricing information, all the information in one brochure, just for you. It's just for the Walter Sterling Show, just for Midnight Misfits. Send it to waltermsterling@gmail.com. Put your real mailing address in there. No one's going to bug you. Don't worry. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Ask for the brochure for our French Riviera trip. But I love hearing all of these idiots. And it's gone on now for years. Well, you know, if so-and-so gets to be president, I'm going to Canada. Well, if this happens, I'm going to Canada. Well, if this happens, I'm going to leave the country. Well, it's a two-part problem. First of all, did you ever wonder how the Canadians feel about this? You know, what do the Canadians think of us wanting to visit like this? It's pretty interesting to hear their reactions. And then what does it take to actually move to Canada?
Hello, Americans.
It's us, Canadians.
We heard a lot of you are mad about your presidential election.
So mad you're threatening to move to Canada.
And from the bottom of our hockey playing, Degrassi binging.
Timmy Hortons, double-double, sipping hearts. Please, don't.
Don't move to Canada.
Don't move to Canada.
Déménagez pas au Canada.
It's way harder than you think.
It won't solve your problems.
And deep down, you don't really want to.
Or deserve to, eh?
Opposing Donald Trump or hating Hillary Clinton doesn't really make you a political refugee.
It makes you a Twitter user.
And we have enough of those already.
And even if you were a refugee, we barely take refugees in.
Canada is still America's beret, but it's no longer a liberal paradise.
Our version of Donald Trump was prime minister for the last decade.
They don't want us. The Canadians, they don't want us. I've been to Canada a lot, and I don't think there's a harder border to cross than the Canadian border. Where are you going? Who are you going to see? Where are you staying? How long will you be here? Show me your return ticket. You go to Ireland, they don't even want to see a passport. Just come in, spend your money. You're the 51st state. Yes, we're the 51st state. Every retailer in Ireland has a photo of John F. Kennedy behind the counter. But in Canada, it's hard to get in and just as hard to get back into the United States. I'm like, well, okay, so if you wanted to move to Canada, what exactly would it take to become a citizen of Canada? What do they require? Well, this is the short list. Provide proof that you know how to speak and write in one of Canada's two official languages, either English or French. You have to prove fluency in English or French. That's the first criteria. How does that compare to here? Here, hey, you don't speak English? No problem. We'll print out all of the phone bills in 80 different languages, and we'll have translators standing by at the SNAP office to help you. Become a permanent resident. What does that mean? It means that you've lived in Canada as a permanent resident for at least 1,095 days out of the 5 years before you apply. You have to wait 5 years, and you have to be a resident of Canada for 1,095 days before you can even apply. Oh, and remember, you have to either speak French or English. You have filed your taxes for at least 3 years during the last 5 years, and any income tax you may owe must be paid. You had to file your income taxes in Canada for at least three of the past 5 years, and you can't owe any money to Canada. It's $600 to apply. They'll return your application as incomplete if you do not send acceptable proof that you have adequate knowledge of English or French. If you are or have been a member of the Canadian Armed Forces, you may be eligible for a fast-track application after you've sacrificed yourself to be killed. You can use the residence calculator. They have a residence calculator to find out if you've been in Canada long enough as a permanent resident to apply for citizenship. If you've not been in Canada long enough, it will tell you when you will be eligible to apply. It's about a five-year wait, and you have to be actually living there for 1,095 days. You have to pay taxes for 3 years in Canada, and you can't owe them any back taxes. The applicant must be a Canadian citizen or be applying to become a Canadian citizen. Minors do not need to meet the residency requirement. If one of your parents was a Canadian citizen when you were born, depending on when you were born, you may already be a citizen. You cannot become a Canadian citizen if you have recently been or are in prison, on parole or probation, serving a conditional sentence, or have been charged or convicted of an indictable crime. If you're under a deportation order, you can apply. Well, those are the basics to become a Canadian citizen. You have to have been there for at least 5 years. You have to have lived there over 1,000 days, and you have to be fluent in French or English. Wouldn't that be enough? And by the way, we're going to explore some other countries. Like, what would it be like to become a citizen of Eritrea or Syria? What would it take to become a citizen of a country that you have absolutely no desire to become a citizen of? Well, the rules for citizenship in other countries are astonishing. Countries that should be thrilled to meet you are not. They have many questions, and we'll explore them. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. You and I should stay in touch. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com. I have a great webpage. Go to it. Take a look. WalterSterlingShow.com, and that's where you can find out about our very remarkable bucket list trip to the French Riviera coming up this October. I love being with you. I have a phone number. I'm live. It's 888-688-WALT. You are a Midnight Misfit. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Are you out of your mind?
No.
Are you nuts? I mean, I read it, and I said, what is wrong with this woman?
Walter Sterling. It's the Walter Sterling Midnight Misfit Time. It's where the introverts all gather. It's okay. You don't have to like anybody. You don't have to pretend you like anybody. And you can say, I'd rather be alone. Dr. Dave Weiser with the weather.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
I'm a lesbian.
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 The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
3 a.m. Los Angeles PD says... A shooting happened at Crazy Girls Hollywood. That's on North La Brea in Hollywood, and it is known for its crazy girls. They do a lot of Motley Crue there. They also play a little Def Leppard as these ladies shake themselves up and make the men smile. Early on a Friday morning, of all things, a couple of groups of men get into an argument. Cheap booze, testosterone, and an available handgun generally does not mean good things. Shots fired. One person struck, taken to a hospital. The shooter, or suspected shooter, was found a few blocks away, driving an older gray Infiniti, taken into custody at a Shell gas station in La Brea and Fountain Avenue. Now, the L.A. County Sheriff's Department helped capture the man. Couple of notes when you go to the jiggle joint. Nothing good happens after midnight. I don't know how much I can ever say that to you. Nothing good happens after midnight. Even if the person is a jerk, do not start screaming at them and get into an argument with them, mainly because if you ain't carrying, they probably are. In fact, one of the dancers at this facility, her name is Infiniti. Imagine that. Apparently quite a charming lass she is. From the champagne room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Don't you love it when people say, well, you know, if this happens, I'm going to move to Canada. They never consider, do Canadians want them? Is it something Canadians want? Well, Canada has a very rigorous process for becoming a citizen and having you move to Canada, including the fact you have to live there for 5 years and live there for over 1,000 days, pay taxes for 3 years, and don't owe them any money. They're going to ask for fingerprints. If your application is accepted, just accepted the application, not that you've been accepted, you'll have to write a citizenship test. Children under 18 of age and persons 54 and over do not have to write the citizenship test, which is good for you because I don't have anybody listening who's under 54. Find out more at their website. Okay, now, that's Canada. We know where Canada is. We understand about Canada. We understand that it's America light. Okay, let's say you want to become a citizen someplace that you absolutely don't want to become a citizen, like, oh, say, Yemen. What would it take to become a citizen of Yemen? Yeah, if this happens in America, I'm moving to Yemen. All right, you ready? Yemen citizenship may be acquired upon fulfillment of the following conditions. Muslims with special skills needed by the country must reside in Yemen for at least 10 years, have a visible means of support, be healthy, and have behaved properly and know the language. If you want to live in Yemen as a citizen, you have to be a Muslim and have special skills that the country actually needs. You must reside in Yemen for at least 10 years and have a viable means of support. You have to be healthy. You have to behave properly and know the language. That's Yemen, where, again, I would think they'd just be really happy to meet us. No, they're not happy to meet us. They have no interest in that. Oh, there's another way. Anyone whose father is a Yemen national automatically receives Yemeni citizenship upon birth, regardless of where he or she was born. All right, that's pretty much it. If your father was a Yemeni, you get to stay. Now, about Canada again, what about those fees? Well, if you want to apply for citizenship, the processing fee is $530, and right of citizenship fee is $100. If you're under 18, it's $100. If you're a stateless adult born to a Canadian parent, right of citizenship is $100. And a citizenship certificate, well, that's $75. Well, what about Eritrea, which is an African country, Eritrea? How do you become a citizen of Eritrea? For persons born outside Eritrea. You ready? Any person born of Eritrean father or mother is an Eritrean by birth. Any foreign citizen may become Eritrean citizen pursuant to the law. Eritrean nationality. Any person whose father was born or mother was born of Eritrean origin in Eritrea or abroad is an Eritrean national by birth. The proclamation also states that any person who is Eritrean by origin or by birth shall, upon application, be given a certificate of nationality. The proclamation, this is a new law there, discusses in detail the requirements for obtaining Eritrean nationality by naturalization, making a distinction. What is it? Let's see. According to Article 4 of the Proclamation, which addresses nationality by naturalization, any person who is not Eritrean of origin and had entered and resided in Eritrea in 1952 or after, and on condition that they've entered Eritrea legally, they have to have entered Eritrea legally and has been housed in Eritrea for a period of, ready? 10 years before 1974, or who has lived in Eritrea for a period of 20 years while making periodic visits abroad. Other conditions by obtaining nationality include having high integrity, not having been convicted of a crime, understanding and speaking the Eritrean language, and having renounced the nationality of another country pursuant to the legislation of that country, and not having committed anti-people acts during the liberation struggle of the Eritrean people. You have to know the language. If you were born in another country, you have to renounce the other country. This is for Eritrea, a very poor, sad African nation. Not a place that you're going to go on vacation. Not a place that you want to visit for more than, oh my gosh, let's get out of here. But their rules are, you got to know the language. You have to behave. You have to have been here for 10 years. And if you showed up later, you have to be here for 20 years. And you have to behave. The hardest countries to get citizenship in the whole world are Qatar, Vatican City, where you have to be a hardcore Catholic, Liechtenstein, Bhutan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Switzerland, China, North Korea, and Japan. It's hard to become a citizen of North Korea. Again, they don't let anyone leave. You figure they'd be very happy if anybody shows up. I don't see. Does anybody ever go to North Korea to become a citizen? I don't think so. But this is what I think of when I hear whack jobs say, well, I'm going to leave the country. I don't care if you leave the country. But, oh, by the way, no other country wants you. Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. The name of this show is Sterling on Sunday. I've got a great website where you can find out about our trip, our bucket list trip to the French Riviera. Go to waltersterlingshow.com. I want you to come with me and my wife on that incredible trip. You're going to get information about a Zoom. We're going to have a Zoom call on February 8th. You can get every detail about the trip. Ask all of your questions live on a Zoom call. All right, good evening. It's cold as heck. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Harvey Holiday.
Late on a Sunday night, it's Holiday with love music, and it's so sad to see good love go bang.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 3 good minutes.
Sterling on Sunday. Mark Eckhart is the CEO of Common. 1 Million Truths is a science-based initiative dedicated to building solutions to restore and resolve racial conflict by leveraging the power of artificial intelligence. Well, that's a lot of information, Mark Eckhart. Let's start with, what is AI? What is artificial intelligence?
AI is simply a system or code that's been created, or model that's been created within a computer environment, a technology environment, that performs tasks automatically or performs tasks that usually have been done by human beings. It's a way of generating information in volume and mass. It's a way of increasing and accelerating understanding using technology.
Racial conflict. Everybody has a story. And you have put together an incredible project called 1 Million Truths, where you and I might have the opportunity to share our story, and then it's going to be analyzed in a fantastic way. So let's start there. What is 1 Million Truths?
1 Million Truths is a science-based initiative. We're a nonprofit, and we're dedicated to racial healing and reconciliation. Our mission specifically is to transform the way we think about and respond to racial conflict in our lives, in our communities, and throughout the U.S. by leveraging AI, of course.
Where do I deposit my story?
You can go to 1milliontruths.com, and 1 million truths, all of those words are spelled out. So 1 million truths.com, and you can upload a story from your mobile phone or from your desktop, or you can record a story there on our website. And you simply do that and press submit, and your story is recorded and registered and part of our database that will be analyzed and used to generate solutions that are new and different.
I go, I tell my story. Hopefully you get to 1 million other people telling their story. I hope so. And then what do you do with it?
We can use that information and those insights to train people in different ways to resolve conflict in their lives. And we can be feet on the ground, boots on the ground, in communities, in neighborhoods, creating programs that are going to help people resolve longstanding differences and come together and create a better future together.
Mark Eckert is the CEO of Common. You and I can go there and share our stories about racial conflict and hopefully some of the things that you and I have done to minimize it. I'm sure your project will be successful. I look forward to airing this. I'd be fascinated to see the results. Thank you very much, Mark.
Walmart is the number one billing company in the world. Not just in the United States, not North America, but around the world. More people spend their money at Walmart than any other place. Hey, kids don't get that formula and diapers by mom staying at home. Cambria Gabrielle Darby, 26, had to hook up provisions for her little child and took that wonderful infant to a wonderful Walmart in Jackson, Mississippi. Chilly morning, 20 degrees, and Cambria just couldn't think about, clothing the child more than just a diaper. So apparently pushing through Walmart with just a baby and a diaper only, 20 degrees outside Jackson, Mississippi. Not used to weather like that. No word on whether it was a customer or was it an associate or perhaps a combination of both. Kept calling 911 saying exposed baby at the Walmart. The police sauntered over and found the mother with the baby just wearing a diaper in the parking lot. Mom taken into custody. Darby's great aunt, Marie Darby Pickens, who's only 69 years old, said that she never saw Cambria being a bad mom. I'll tell you what, it's 20 degrees outside and your baby is wearing just a diaper as you're going into Walmart. That's generally a sign that she's a bad mom. No word if that child is in protective custody in a wonderful foster home or with one of her relatives. Go to the grocery store, please, but bundle up that toddler and enjoy the wonderful values you can only find at Walmart. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Ghoul, Sterling at Night.
Billy Datz, good evening. Jim Kelly, Eric Farguson, Rosemary Furlong, Sue Raymond, Ben White, Jane Hoptenton, Rebecca Canner, hi Rebecca, Charlie Green, and your kid, John Harper, Phil Lukes, welcome. These are just a few of the Midnight Misfits that I get to share this time with each week. Welcome home. This is who we are. We are introverts.
Four signs you're an introvert. One, you need time to recharge after socializing. Two, you often prefer quieter environments. 3. You're often told you're a good listener. 4. You start to shut down after you've been active or socializing for too long.
That's us. It's that simple. But isn't it interesting that all our lives, people are taught how to be better team players and to shake hands hard and look people in the eye and stand up and jump up and down. Thousands, millions of hours are spent in school and outside of school on how to be a better extrovert and to be accepted as an extrovert. But nobody teaches us how to be a good introvert. No one teaches us how important it is for us to spend time alone, to recoup and recover in solitude. It's not isolating. There's a big difference between isolating and not dealing with life versus being an introvert, which means being alone and recharging so we can participate in life. We need to be alone. We need time to recover and recoup. It's critical. As I've mentioned, I'm not going to cheat on my wife. My mistress is solitude. That's my mistress. I need time alone to recharge, to spend, 8 billion hours alone in my room as a kid. Now I see my 11-year-old daughter is the same. And she's good. It's interesting. She's able to articulate it. She'll say, she'll have friends over for this day and yesterday. But then on the third or fourth day, she'll say, I need to be alone today. I just need to be by myself in my room this afternoon. That's what I need to do. She knows what she needs, and she accepts what she needs, because we have never been stupid and said, why don't you go outside and play? Why don't you go find some friends and play? No, that's not what an introvert needs to hear. An honor to be with you. Go to waltersterlingshow.com. Find out about our trip. The greatest trip, the greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.